together and did the same things, then where would the body be? Because it would be missing things. People have to go and do things in the body, you know? If we were all the right hand, you know, or what if we were all thumbs, so to speak? I'm leaning on that analogy, but it's a good analogy. That's why Paul uses it. Because it's a good way of saying, you know, when you start thinking about the analogy, you just realize it's like, yeah, you know, it's like, what if all were thumbs? How would the hands work? So though there are many parts, many actions, many diversities of gifts, et cetera, just one body. And also plays to the point in which we conform to the image of Christ, but we don't all conform in the exact same way. And certain things, yeah, it's the righteousness of God, godliness, temper. We speak the same things, we preach the same gospel. But not precisely like the exact same words, we're robotically repeating the same things from each other, you know, again. It's like the apostles. You see the different ways the different apostles speak. James kind of spoke a different, same teaching as Paul, but he spoke it in a different way that really raises the hair of some people who don't understand Paul. So again, the head can't say to the feet, I don't have need of you. I mean, the head seems important, right? It's got a mouth, the eyes, the brains, or everything's up top, right? But there's the feet. But what gets shoes? You know, the head only gets covered when it gets really cold out. In the Mediterranean, they didn't need to wear hats, though. I mean, from the heat. But I mean, you would take a lot of care for your feet. That's why, you know, when the women came, they washed his feet, you know. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Because the feet are the ones in that kind of thing that get the most damage. The ugly, stinky feet need to be cared for. You know, and even you look at women's beauty. Let's say they've got some sort of flaw in their face. What do? That's the part they give the most attention to. I gotta fix that flaw. You know, if someone has a weakness, they guard it. They protect it. You know, if you got a cut on your arm, you put a band-aid on it or whatever. You know, that which is weakest has more abundant, you know, honor. It means you put more value. Honor is what honor is value. Time means valuable. You know, but it's put, you know, in this sense of like, you know, well, how do you honor parts of your body that are weak? And again, I say you give it more abundant care. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Means properly uncomely is like shapeless, inelegant. And so, now let's not get too caught up on the physical body. Let's think about it in the church. What does he mean by this? You know, the things that are not, you know, people always look at the ministry as like the so important. Oh, apostles and prophets, right? But it's the things that need the most care that are the most important. That's why the focus in the New Testament on the widows and the fatherless and the weak and the poor, you know, because that's what the care has to be given. Let's say, you know, why do I teach? Why is there teaching in the body? Because there are people who need instruction. So God sends teachers. And what do teachers do? We bestow care on parts of the body that are weak in not having knowledge. There are not many teachers. There are not many prophets. And they don't need as much care. You know, a prophet is someone who undergoes persecution and they undergo a lot of like unpleasantness in the body. Sometimes, you know, but the little people are the ones who get all the ministering to. But the head, what could a teacher say, I don't need you, student? That's kind of, well then, what's your gift good for? And that's what it's talking about. It's talking about the people. We're not talking about body parts. We're talking about people. Weak people in the body receive the more abundant care. Sick people got to be healed. Uneducated people got to be taught. People who have no faith got to have faith ministered to them. You know? That's what he's talking about. And then when a minister gets up and speaks, not the truth. You know, I think about the mega churches. It's like the honor goes to the preacher. I mean, in the real church. You know, the preacher gets up to preach, and what is he doing? He's serving everyone else. And bestowing care and honor upon the weaker things. That's the way it is in the body. The comely parts don't have any need. Verse 24. You know? Someone who has got all the gifts of understanding and knowledge and wisdom and prophecy, you know, right? A gifted teacher or something like that. And honestly, I don't need someone to teach me the Bible. In fact, when I got the Spirit of God, I'd already studied the Bible so much that no one had to teach me it. Now, I was instructed and given certain knowledge by the gospel, by the preaching of the gospel. But that knowledge just worked in me all kinds of understanding in the Word of God. Without having someone to have to take me through the Word of God, line by line like I'm doing, right? But for some people, these studies are of great blessing, and they learn a lot from it. Because they would go through it and not get all the things that I get. So, well, I don't need a teacher. But there are people in the body who need teachers. So God has tempered together, which means mingled or compounded. Again, you know, Paul was part of the body as an apostle, but he didn't have a particular church he was in. And I get into this a bit because of my situation has been, I don't have a particular church anymore. And I was always, the particular church I found that I would have liked to have been a part of is just too far. And I couldn't have the impact there that I probably would have liked to. And honestly, I don't think it was God's will. I still love all my brethren there, but I realized, it's like my role is left hand to that right, you know. And so I separated my work. So that I could minister freely according to, you know, the ministering that God has called me to. Not to confound the work of God, but to enhance it.